Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of our podcast, Could Be Your Life. My name is Caroline.
I am Jeff.
And we are closing out Listener Request Month with a request for Elliot Smith.
Yes.
And I gotta tell you guys, between having to listen to Elliot Smith all week and the new season of BoJack Horseman, it's really a wonder I'm still here. This is one depressing week.
Yeah, Elliot, king of the sad boys, Elliot Smith is.
He is a bit of a sad boy.
Oh, he's a total sad boy.
Yeah.
But, you know.
At my my university, I would always walk by, like, a broken part of a fence, and it had sad boy written on it in Sharpie marker. And I would always be like, yeah, man, me too.
I feel you, brah.
Yeah. So, Do you have a Elliot Smith history, or?
You know, me and Elliot Smith go back, actually.
Really?
Yeah, a long ways. Well, it might not be accurate to call myself a fan exactly, but I've definitely been aware of him since before he died.
Mm-hmm.
I remember him dying. 'Cause my friend, in high school, when I used to ride the bus, I rode with my friend Kate, who was the only person I knew at my high school that liked cool music besides
sure.
me. So we would play each other stuff, and I remember one time I made her listen to Baby Bitch by Ween.
Man, how'd she like it?
Well, she said, "This sounds like Elliot Smith."
That's kind of interesting.
Yeah. And I said, "Who is Elliot Smith?" And the rest is history.
And she said, "Hold on. This song is going to change your life." Speaking of that, I watched do you remember the ill-received Garden State follow-up?
Oh, I remember.
I wish I was here.
I remember it happening. I mean,
yeah.
I didn't
watched
see it
yesterday. It was about what you'd expect.
Garbage?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I expected.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of interesting the way Garden State's reputation has changed over the years, because it was critically well received.
It was a huge deal, because I remember it, and
yeah,
I saw it. I watched it a bunch of times because my friend was really into it, and so like whenever we would hang out, I would have to watch it. And it was a thing, and I was like 13 or 14 when it came out, and so like I saw it once, and I was like, wow, this movie's really cool. And then I saw it a few more times. I was like, this movie fucking sucks.
Well,
but I think it's one of those things where I think it's a movie that like you had to be at a certain age at a certain time, maybe.
Sure.
But also, I think that like the treacle of Zach Braff's aesthetic sensibilities really like got on people's nerves after a while.
Well, I think like that was around a time in the 2000s when the indie aesthetic was sort of starting to crystallize.
Yes.
You know,
it was Postal Service.
Yeah, yeah, like the new indie, not like, you know, fucking Fugazi and shit. Like, that sort of, like,
I wish.
Wussy, sad boy, like, folky sort of
It's like Starbucks and gentrification.
Yeah, exactly. Gentrification rock. That's the best way of putting it.
Yeah. And the thing is it's weird, because, like, I'm from New Jersey. My whole family's from there. Mm-hmm. Zach Braff is from New Jersey. I really feel like he didn't get it right at all.
He didn't capture the Garden State?
No, not at all. captured, like, New Canaan, Connecticut.
Yeah, there's not enough people going, hey, you guys! In
yeah,
that movie.
Yeah.
There needed to be more of that.
There's no, like, you know, fat Italians yelling at
Where
you.
Where are all the fat Italians?
I mean, honestly, they're all over the place. Yeah. I can say that. Because I am an Italian person. Mm. I'm an Italian-American, I guess. But, okay, well, my thing about Elliot Smith is I watched the Royal Tenenbaums.
Sure.
I watched the Royal Tenenbaums in a library, which was a bad idea because I didn't realize it was going to hit me that hard. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, crying.
Oh, yeah, that's a great scene.
Oh, God, yeah. It's really hard to watch. But,
Needle in the Hay.
Yeah, and Needle of the Hay really is, like, just an astounding song.
Oh, it's great. It might be the best Elliot Smith song, actually.
I think it is.
There's a few contenders, I think, but Needle in the Hay is definitely
There's just nothing else like that song. And I was like, man, that song is fucking great. Mm. And so I listened to the self-titled Elliot Smith album, and I listened to Either Or, and I was like, that song is really great, but I kind of feel like the rest of this isn't for me. Mm-hmm. But in the course of this week, listening to more of his stuff, I think that, like, he had a lot more than I was giving him credit for, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he's not gonna be my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Elliot Smith is, like, your kind of music, really.
No, it's not, but I definitely think he's an interesting artist. And, like, he was more than just, like, sad acoustic guitar dude. Like, he was definitely that, but he did it in an interesting way. Mm-hmm. It's just that, like, it's going to take a lot to get me to really connect to a sad acoustic guitar dude.
Yeah, I feel the same way, basically. He is an artist that I like and respect, but he's just, you know, right, like, sad acoustic guitar dude. Like, that's just not really my genre so much.
Yeah.
But Elliot Smith wrote tuneful, memorable songs. And he has a beautiful voice.
I think he's a better harmonizer than he is a lead vocalist.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that? Yeah. Well, because he would double track.
Yeah. He definitely double tracks his vocals a lot. Sometimes many tracks his vocals.
Yeah.
Especially on the later albums.
Yeah. But I think it's on the later albums that I was like, that I really kind of, I know that, like, the self-titled and, like, Either Or are the ones that everybody loves. But, like, From a Basement on the Hill is probably my favorite, because I think that's where he was most interesting and did, like, different stuff. And his arrangements are always really interesting, like, even in his, like, solo acoustic kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And his guitar playing is weird and different.
I think there's a little bit of controversy around From a Basement on the Hill, because people think, like, it didn't represent Elliot's vision or whatever, because he died, you know, before it came out.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I don't.
But they're still his songs.
He
recorded them.
The production and all that. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know what specifically people take issue with.
Well, I think it's also a case of, like, somebody dies young in a really tragic way, and everybody's just, like, combing through everything that this person has done, and, like, I don't know where I'm going with this.
No.
But you know what I mean, right?
I suppose.
Yeah.
Didn't really, like, make a complete thought, so
it's like people think that his girlfriend at the time murdered him.
Yeah,
when it's like, for some reason, people just don't want to believe that a person would kill themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess it's just like, that's such a gnarly way to go out.
Like, yeah,
stabbed himself true. In the heart. Like, goddamn, yeah. Who does that?
Well, it's been done.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just saying there are better ways to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
we're all different, and, you know,
we're all different.
Methods of suicide are as diverse as the people that kill themselves.
Everyone's method of suicide is special in its own way.
That is so true.
Do you were you aware of Elliot Smith when he died?
No, I was a little young, I think.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was 2003.
Mm.
So I was a little young to really be aware of like contemporary music, I feel like. Because I was still sort of only aware of like what my parents listened to and like whatever I heard on the radio. I wasn't really like digging through crates yet.
Yeah, and I mean, I wasn't a big fan at the time of his death, but I think I had XO at that point, which was the first, which I bought on Kate's recommendation, because mm-hmm. I saw it at a used record store.
Sure.
But yeah, I just got on the bus one day, and she was like, Elliot Smith died. And I was like, dude, I just, like, fucking heard of him 3 months ago, and now he's dead.
Yeah.
It was pretty weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of an example of that that's happened to me, because like I know that it has, like that I hear of a person, then all of a sudden they're dead.
Anton Yelchin?
Yeah, because I had no idea who that guy was.
Well, I had just seen Green Room, which right. he was in, and he was pretty good in that, and then he was dead. I was yeah. like, damn, that sucks.
I guess, like, I was going through, like, watching a ton of Philip Seymour Hoffman's movies, like, around the time that he, like, before he died. Like, I had known about him for a really long time, but I was going through, like, his filmography, and then he died, and that was weird. And, god damn it, I still miss him every day.
Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
That was a big blow, Philip Seymour.
That is probably like the like famous person death that's hit me the hardest yeah. like in my lifetime, yeah.
You know what was a big one for me?
What?
Adam Yauch, MCA.
Yeah, yeah.
The Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Cuz I was a huge Beastie Boys fan.
Right.
So that was bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be weird when like all my heroes start dying, you know.
I think about that a lot. Like, I shouldn't be thinking about it as often as I am.
Yeah, no, I mean, it kind of can't help but can't help but cross your mind.
Yeah, so I'm like, dude, like, you know, thinking about Boris, like, they're all gonna die one day, and I'm gonna be witness to it probably.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be rough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yep.
But what are you going to do?
Nothing.
We all die. We all die one day.
Keep on keeping on.
Exactly.
LIVIN.
That's right. It's like Wooderson said.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a depressing episode. How we doing? How we doing on this?
Well, I mean, we're talking about a dude who made really sad music and then killed himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, it kind of
that's one career trajectory.
It can't help but cast a pall over the proceedings.
Yeah, honestly. Mm. Where does he get off?
What a dick.
Jesus.
I'm actually hanging out in Elliot Smith's old stomping grounds right now. I
thought you were going to say in his house.
No, not in his house. But I am in the Pacific Northwest right now as I speak, so...
Yeah, that was...
I am about half an hour away from Portland. I'm visiting my brother. I'm probably gonna go to Portland today, so...
Is Portland any good?
I went there last time I was here, and, you know, I was unimpressed, I have to say.
Yeah?
It's a pretty boring little city, I think. And it's just got some, like, quirky things in it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's Voodoo Donuts, which is pretty cool, but...
Yeah, but you could get... You know, donuts are a dime a dozen.
And they have the best bookstore I've ever been to. So
really?
I'll give them that, but...
What? Name it.
Powell's Books.
Powell's Books.
Look it up. But yeah, those are the only two things about Portland that impressed me.
Yeah, everything else
it's
is just...
a pretty boring place, otherwise.
Yeah. That's just like Portlandia.
I mean, it's
don't
just
you
a city.
Love Portlandia?
American cities are all basically the same, except for, like, a couple.
Yeah, except for the biggest ones.
Yeah. Well, like...
I don't know.
New Orleans and...
Every place is stupid.
That's basically true.
Yeah. They're all bad. But, on the other hand, you can always find people that are good and that are nice.
Sure.
And that make it all worthwhile. It's about the people. It's not about the place.
I suppose.
And that's my wisdom for the day.
All right.
You gotta pep up, buddy.
Uplifting message from Caroline.
Thank you.
I just woke up.
Yeah, well...
This is the first thing I'm doing today.
That's not my fucking problem.
No, I'm just saying.
So, do you want to talk about Roman Candle?
Roman Candle.
This is his first album.
The first Elliott Smith album.
He wasn't quite there yet.
I don't know.
There's good on this, definitely.
I think it establishes right away the kind of artist Elliott Smith is. I mean, these songs are... They have an immediacy, an intimacy.
Yeah.
That's what I really like about these the first two Elliott Smith albums in particular, is that they definitely have an intimacy. Like, you feel like you're in the room with him.
See, that always makes me, like, sort of uncomfortable.
Well.
It's like listening to Jandek. It's just like...
Well, it's kind of uncomfortable music. I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
The title track in particular, which I think is one of his best songs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is, haunting, man.
Mm.
It sounds like it's about child abuse, as far as I can tell. Yeah. Here's the thing. I don't know what Elliott Smith's personal history is. Like, I don't know much about him biographically.
He was abused by his stepfather.
And that makes sense. That's exactly what Roman Candle sounds like it's about.
Mm-hmm.
But just, like, musically, like, it runs on these sort of, like, dissonant chords and this, like...
That's what I like about Elliott Smith.
Yeah.
It's, like, his music isn't beautiful, you know, like, it's very dissonant and kind of weird chord progressions. Like, he plays acoustic guitar in a way that most people don't, which I like.
And it has this very quiet, like, lead electric also, that plays this sort of uncomfortable buzzing part over it, and just makes the whole thing scary sounding.
Yeah.
And you know, the lyric... It's creepy, too. I want to hurt him. I want to give him pain. I'm a Roman candle. My head is full of flames.
And yeah.
Just like the way, just this quiet intensity that he sings it with is, it's a haunting song.
Yes.
He played himself. Didn't need me. I wanna give him pain. I'm a Roman candle. My head is full of flames. I I'm a lucid
man. And then you've also got Condor Avenue right after that, which is also... I love this kind of, like, circular guitar part it's got a little bit.
I knew you would.
It's not an arpeggio, but...
No, but it is, like, a very circular kind of thing, and I know that you like... That's why you like arpeggios, so... Yeah.
And the melody,
I know you, Jeff.
You know me all too well.
Yeah.
I like the way the melody, like, rises and falls, kind of. I don't know. It's a really good song.
Yeah. Drive All Over Town.
Drive All Over Town.
But I think my favorite on here is actually the instrumental, Kiwi Mad Dog 2020.
Okay.
Which is named, of course, after Mad Dog, the alcohol.
Yeah. Hobo Wine, as it is also referred to.
My mother, who... has never been drunk and does not drink alcohol, has a Mad Dog 2020 sweatshirt that she's had and worn regularly for like 20 years. And I don't know where she got it. And I don't know why she has it.
She's never been drunk?
No. My mom doesn't drink.
Because she's Catholic.
Well, that's not why. My mom just doesn't drink. Catholics drink. It's part of our church services.
Well, that's not wine. That's the blood of Christ.
Well, I know, but...
It's the blood of Christ, Carolyn.
Taking the magic out of it, it's wine, baby. He turned wine into his own blood.
Yeah.
That's like some black metal shit.
That's some spooky shit, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Catholicism is scary.
But I love... Just like that sort of like slack guitar.
Oh yeah, the bendy guitar kind of in that track.
Yeah,
is
it's
wonderful.
Great. It's really, really great.
That's a great instrumental, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then you got the No Name tracks. No Name number one.
Why don't you give them a name?
Because that would be bourgeois.
I guess.
I don't know.
Bourgeoisie.
Yeah. Magooch.
The Goocher. I wish the Goocher had played on some of these records.
Yeah, where's the Gooch at?
Yeah!
2 stars for no Gooch.
It's gonna be my rating system from now on. It's just like,
well,
all
how
albums.
Much Gooch is on it?
All albums are 2 stars except for Magazine and Susie and the Pages.
I have discerning taste, okay?
That's right. No Gooch, no dice.
No Gooch, no stars.
Yep.
You want more stars, have more Gooch.
That's right. Aw.
But No Name number one, downright happy track.
Yeah, what's with that? I thought this guy was sad all the time.
It's weird. But it's cool. No Name number two goes right back to being sad.
Sure.
Killing time won't stop this crime. That's what he has to say in No Name number two.
That is so true.
It's a penetrating insight from Elliott Smith. Here's the thing. I do have to say, as a lyricist, I don't generally find Elliott Smith to be all that engaging. I mean, it varies from song to song, but...
Yeah. Like, I'm not... Well, I don't know.
There's a lot of girl trouble.
Yeah, most lyrics are bad.
I don't know that I agree with that, but
I don't know.
But you know, it's angst and girl trouble. Like,
yeah,
that's mostly Elliott Smith's repertoire.
Yeah,
which you know sometimes it's better than others, but just you know.
So what are you gonna do?
Right. I mean, I know girls; they can break your heart, but
sure. It's like Neil Young said.
What?
Only love can break your heart.
Right. I didn't know what you were getting at.
No, it's like Neil Young said, when you dance, you can really love.
It's like Neil Young said, Transformer Man, Transformer Man.
It's like Neil Young said, let's impeach the president.
All right, I can't think of any more.
It's like Neil Young said, Journey Through the Past.
Dude, speaking of Trans, that's a good album. That's an underrated album.
I agree.
Neil Young.
And, like, Neil Young is such a good dad.
Yeah.
You know?
What a guy.
What a man.
What a mighty good man.
A mighty, mighty good man.
That song was about Neil Young, little known fact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He spends quality time with his kids when he can.
Yeah.
But that's true. And, you know, he wished he was a trapper.
Mm-hmm.
So he could keep 1,000 pelts and sleep with Pocahontas and find out how she felt in the morning when the sky is green. See, most lyrics are bad. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah. So, Roman Candle, though, I think this is a very promising debut record. If you like Elliott Smith's other records, there's no reason you wouldn't like this one.
And it does have a really good instrumental track on it.
That it does.
I fucking love that song. I really do.
And it has fucking... The first two tracks, I think, are top-notch Elliott Smith also.
Yeah.
So.
And then there's some shit in the middle. It's like,
no, I mean, the stuff in the middle is good, but I wouldn't call it shit, but
nah.
Just think those first two tracks are where it's at.
Yeah. I do gotta say, the kiwi-flavored Mad Dog sounds like death.
Is that an actual flavor of Mad Dog?
That's what it's named at, yeah.
Well, I know it's the title of the song, but I don't know if he, like, made that up or not.
That's what he was drinking.
Okay.
That was his poison at the time.
Mad Dog is fucking gross, dude.
Yeah, I've never had it, but the thought of, like, kiwi flavor sounds just terrible.
I've tried to get drunk on Mad Dog before, and it's...
Didn't work?
No.
Didn't get you?
So that brings us to the self-titled Elliott Smith.
Yep.
1995.
And... Needle in the Hay,
sure.
Holy goddamn.
Yeah, that's a whopper of a song.
That is such a song.
Hmm.
Like, Jesus Christ. And what I love about it is, like, the way that, like, it sounds like he's strumming too close to the microphone, so then when he does, like, that descending part, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know.
I love that.
Sort of what you were saying earlier about, like, strange chord progressions. Like, that's a song that definitely has one. These alternating high and low chords, you know? The... Like, it's... I don't like. It's an unsettling song, just musically.
It wouldn't even have to have lyrics, and it would still be
right.
Like, unsettling.
I do like the lyrics to this song.
Yeah.
Haystack
Charm.
Yeah. It's poet. I like the line "a dead sweat in my teeth."
That sounds so gross.
Yeah, exactly.
It just captures
this, like, disgust and despair and just walking around feeling like shit because you're strung out on fucking heroin.
Or because you saw your girl with some other dude.
I thought the song was about addiction.
Well, it could be about two things.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe it's like using drug addiction as a metaphor for, like, being addicted to a woman, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I hope not. That would make me like it less.
Yeah, that would be dumb. It's probably accurate to say that there are two Elliott Smiths. There's the lo-fi 4-track Elliott Smith, and then there is the hi-fi studio Elliott Smith
just like Ween.
Yeah, yeah. That's, yeah. Hey, you're right. I think of the early period, this is the best Elliott Smith record.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people will tell you Either Or, but I'm actually not the hugest fan of that record. I think it's a little weaker than the first two. But this one's a keeper.
Mm-hmm.
has...
Actually, the one thing I will say about either, like, looking at the track listing of Either Or, one thing I will say about it is that it's not overshadowed by a perfect opening track.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is just like, man, I really wish I was listening to Needle in the Hay again.
Yeah, I don't feel that way about the self-titled record, though. I think it has many good tracks scattered all throughout it.
Southern Belle.
Yeah, Southern Belle. That's some fancy guitar playing on, mm-hmm. on its part. Some folky kind of sounds Southern, you know? Like it's a... I don't know what kind of music it is, but...
Think he's ever been down here?
He's strumming real fast. Do I think Elliott Smith ever in his entire life came to the South?
Yes.
I mean, he probably toured, right?
Sure.
So I would say yes.
I like Alphabet Town a lot.
Yeah, totally. That's a song that saunters. It's
got some harmonica on it.
Yeah, it does. You're
love
right.
That.
But that's a song that saunters, man. It kind of...
Yeah, kind of drunken.
Yeah, a little bit. It's got like a certain casualness to it that I like.
Mm.
And it does have bitchin' harmonica on it too.
That's like kind of when somebody's really just like going to town on a harmonica. Mm. You know, like Blues Traveler. You really can only describe it as bitchin', can't you?
Blues Traveler is fucking bitchin'.
John Popper, a Blues Traveler, mm-hmm. once got arrested with like a shit ton of illegal guns.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That guy rules.
With his big bandolier of different harmonicas. Because each one is like only in one key. And so if you want to change keys, you have to get a different one.
That's very true. I mean,
that's a pretty inefficient.
You gotta have all your harmonicas at the ready.
That's a really inefficient way to design an instrument. You can only play it in one key.
Well, what are you gonna do to make your harmonica play in multiple keys?
Just make it really big.
Oh, you had the solution the entire time, Caroline.
See? I am so smart.
Just imagine John Popper playing like a huge harmonica.
he has to run all the way down.
If you made it really big though, that would make it very difficult though, because you got to run your mouth all over that fucking harmonica to get to the different notes.
Oh, I know.
So you would be throwing your head all over the place. You could snap your own neck playing a big harmonica.
One hopes.
You want John Popper to snap his own neck?
Wouldn't that... He would die the way he lived, Jeff.
Playing harmonica?
He would die doing what he loved. We should all be so lucky.
I guess. I'm sure he would rather not die, though.
How do you know?
That's true. I don't.
You know...
Maybe John Popper wants very much to die.
He's like been doomed by like some sort of like witch's curse to live forever. The only way he could die is if he snaps his neck playing the harmonica.
He's just never found a big enough harmonica to do it to him.
Yeah, he needs that. A few weeks from now, I'm going to get a mysterious cell phone call. It's like, hey, I need you to make a harmonica for me. Be like, John Popper? Is that you?
And then
I'd have to get trained in the art of metallurgy and...
Yeah, it'd be real complicated. You probably just shouldn't even bother.
It would be one hell of a bitch of an unsatisfactory situation.
Right. Like, I don't want John Popper to die that badly.
Like, maybe a little bit, but not like that.
And John Popper's going to die, like, tomorrow, and we're going to feel really bad.
God.
Like, sorry, John Popper fans all over the world. Kind of feel like maybe we did that by talking about it.
Did you ever have a retail job where they played Run Around constantly?
Probably.
Because I did. It was not great.
Which song was Sister Hazel?
Oh God, that is such a good question because my brother had that CD.
Well, they're the same band, so
Sister Hazel and Blues Traveler.
Yeah.
Well, they're not. I gotta tell you.
They're not, but their song sounds exactly like Blues Traveler, and I always forget which one it is.
All for You!
Yeah, that's right.
It's All for You.
Tell me that song doesn't sound exactly like Blues Traveler.
You know what? It does. Exactly. You're right.
I think it's even got harmonica in it.
Of course it does. But nobody plays that harmonica like Elliot Smith on Alphabet Town.
I thought you were about to say John Popper again.
John Popper on Alphabet Town.
You think that was a cameo appearance from John Popper on Alphabet Town?
Imagine if Elliot Smith had been like a jam band guy.
That would have been bad.
Like if he was like a one-man jam band like Keller Williams.
I don't know who that is.
He was a guy that was very popular in my high school. He was a one-man jam band. He didn't go to my high school. He's from
jam band?
Yeah, he's from like yeah. He's just got a looper pedal and he does stupid covers of like "Don't Stop Till You Get Enough." And
that sounds kind of cool, actually.
No, this guy sucks.
Okay,
this guy sucks. I listened to him because I wanted to have friends, and then I was like, "This guy sucks."
You listen to a guy with a loop pedal play covers of Don't Stop Till You Get Enough because you wanted to have friends.
I was in high school. Don't tell me you didn't do stupid things in high school.
Yeah, I did.
So?
I failed English one semester, for instance, because I didn't do any of my homework.
Did you do that so you could have friends?
No.
Were you on the drugs?
I mean, I was smoking pot, but I don't think that was the reason.
Man, you're so cool. I didn't smoke pot till I was out of college.
So cool.
Yeah, you're so cool because you were smoking pot as a teenager.
Everyone smoked pot, except you.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm the only one. I didn't smoke pot till I was 23. And then I was like, what have I been missing this whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, better late than never, right?
That's right. It's like that old column in the AV Club.
Yeah.
Did you read that article in the AV Club, the Nathan Rabin thing about Corey Haim?
No.
Oh my God. Like, he's more hit or miss than I felt like he was when I was like 18, but sometimes Nathan Rabin just fucking brings it, man.
Yeah.
He really does.
I'm a Rabin fan. I like
what he does. Yeah, I'm always gonna be a Rabin fan. He was a big deal for me. Mm-hmm. Like my year of flops, that was a huge deal for me.
Yeah.
Like 2007. I got thinking. It's a real noodle scratcher.
My year of flops?
Yeah.
Like what is a bad movie?
Yeah, well, it got me thinking about how we conceptualize failure and, you know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah, you got me.
Mm-hmm. This album, though, Elliott Smith.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Single File.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Just, you know, I really like the very quiet Elliott Smith songs, you know.
See, I think it's I think for me I'm like, it's too quiet. turn it up.
I just like these kind of spare arrangements. I mean, Single File is just an acoustic guitar and one reverbed electric lead.
I do like that.
Yeah, that meow. Like, it's cool. It's pretty.
You make it sound like it's the theme song from Saved by the Bell.
Do I?
I don't know. It just sounds like that kind of guitar tone.
I don't think I do.
You know the theme song from Saved by the Bell?
Yeah, it didn't sound
it's
anything.
It's got like that.
It doesn't sound anything
like that.
It's got
like a shredding guitar through the whole thing.
And I didn't do my homework last night. Yeah. Something like that, right?
It is exactly like that.
It's all right, because I'm saved by the bell.
Me now!
Dude, I wish you could have been there last weekend.
I can't wait where this is going.
I fucking crushed Ba with the Ba and Freak on a Leash at karaoke.
Oh, God, I do wish I could have seen that.
I felt like Kid Rock. And like Jonathan Davis, respectively.
Wow.
Yeah. I feel like I truly embodied them. Well, you know that part in the middle of Freak on a Leash where
of
he's
of course
like,
I know the part in the middle of Freak on a Leash.
Dude, I got fucking cheers when I finished that song, let me tell you. And then he just goes, "Go!" And the band like launches.
Yes!
That, yeah, that shit rules.
Oh yeah.
That's a great song.
It's a great song. You're right. It's better than any of this shit.
Yeah. Elliott Smith. More like Korn.
More like Elliott Bitch. Compared to Korn.
More like Elliott Shit. I'd rather be listening to Korn.
All right. Now it's time to be serious.
Okay.
Do you have anything else on this album?
I also really love The White Lady Loves You More. Which is a goddamn... I think I've used the word haunting a few times already, but it's a haunting song. Like, a lot of Elliott Smith is haunting, man.
And, it's got that cello on it.
It does have cello, you're right. And just the melody.
Cello is a haunting instrument. You know that.
You know I played the cello, right?
That's why I said that you know that.
Oh, okay.
So yes, I do. I remember. Do you miss playing the cello ever?
I do. The only reason I stopped is because I hated my teacher.
That sucks.
It does suck. She was awful.
Yeah, it's like I quit playing the drums because we moved. Mm. And so I didn't want to start all over again. And I didn't have a drum set, so that also put a damper on things.
Right.
Because I had to use the drum set at school.
I feel like if you put like some sheet music in front of me, I could probably still play the cello.
Sure.
I mean, I played for fucking 6 years. So
I'm sure that if somebody put a cello in front of you, it would all come flooding back.
Yeah, man. The kind of lame thing about the cello, though, is that it's almost always a harmony instrument. Like, it's very rarely a lead instrument, so...
Well, it's kind of like bass.
Well, right. But,
that makes sense.
But it's just... It's not really like... Like, I couldn't play some shit that would really impress you, like, if you brought me a cello.
I do really like the cello, though,
I love the cello.
Yeah, it's a great instrument. Love. You ever hear any of John Cage's compositions for cellos?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty good. Check that shit out.
Are they avant-garde as fuck?
Of course they are! What are you, stupid?
No.
Exactly. So you didn't even need to ask that question.
Alright. Fair enough. Either or.
Yeah, this one is named after a little book by a little guy named Soren Kierkegaard.
Oh.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. You ever read any of that guy?
I mean, I know he's a founding father of existentialism.
Christian existentialism, sure.
But I don't know specifically what he wrote or anything.
I haven't read either or. I had a copy of Sickness Unto Death that I lost, and I don't lose things, so that's really disconcerting, and I never found it. But I read a book of his, and I don't remember what the title of it was, and it was all about, like, kind of the beginning of, like, mass media. And he was sort of grappling with, like, you know, like, newspapers and things like that, and how that was, like, affecting people's perception. It was really interesting. It's, like, the kind of shit I'm into, so.
I've never been a big philosophy guy.
Didn't you want to be a philosophy minor?
Yeah.
So why did you want to do that?
I don't know. I think I found it interesting at the time, but...
Yeah. That's kind of...
I've got less time for it now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too. But, like, every once in a while, like, I'll read some stuff, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is why I was interested in that stuff. But most of it is just, like, people...
Well, I would rather just read a summary of a philosopher's ideas than, like, actually fucking... I don't know, like...
No, that's kind of true.
you like, read, like, famous philosophical works, and they're just goddamn boring. Like,
yeah, a lot of those dudes are not good writers.
No.
Some of them are. You get a Camus in there every once in a while, but sure. Even him, I mean. So what?
I'm making the jerking off hand motion.
Yeah.
Right now.
All you need, you know what? Instead of The Stranger, you should just watch the series finale of Seinfeld, because it's the same idea.
Sure.
It, like, honestly, I'm not even making a joke. Like, well,
they don't get executed at the end.
No, but they're being put on trial essentially for who they are as people. That's what happens to the dude and The Stranger. Like, yeah, he kills a guy, but, you know, he's more on trial for the fact that he's an atheist.
Do you know that song Killing an Arab by The Cure?
I do.
Yeah, it's based on The Stranger.
Yeah, no shit. There's another book that I really want to read that's, like, from the perspective of the brother of the guy that he killed, which I'd much rather read that, because, like, he didn't kill a guy for no reason.
Well, it's because he's all existential and shit.
Yeah, and of course the guy he killed had to be Algerian, because colonialism.
Right.
But anyway, either or. Speed Trials, that's a good song.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of people see this as the greatest flourishing of lo-fi four-track Elliot.
I could see that.
I mean, it does sound more mature and more fleshed out, I guess, than the self-titled.
There's more stuff on it.
It's more diverse, too, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. Just song for song, I just don't like it quite as much. There's songs on here I don't really like.
Like what?
Like, I've never liked Pictures of Me very much.
I always, whenever I see the title, I just think of the Who song, Pictures of Lily, which is about jerking it.
Yeah. Do you think Elliot Smith is jerking it to pictures of himself?
I hope not.
That's what that song is about.
I really hope not. That would be really sad.
I don't know, but he gets up in that upper register for too much of the song, and it just,
yeah,
he strains, and it doesn't, I
he
don't
doesn't
like
have
it.
That beautiful Elliot Smith voice that you love so much.
Exactly.
Yeah. I like Rose Parade a lot.
See, that's another song I would point to.
That's kind of, that's like a weird, like, time signature.
Does it?
Yeah, it sounds like it. I don't know a lot. You know, for somebody that used to play the drums, I don't know shit about time signatures.
I think it's just 4-4.
You sure?
I don't know.
Sounds fucked up.
I don't know, maybe.
Maybe I'm thinking of a different song.
I don't know. That's the one that's like, follow me down to the Rose Parade.
I feel like there's part of it that, yeah, like that part's not. I feel like there's part of it that's weird.
I don't like that song because it has the same melody throughout the entire fucking song for 3.5 minutes. Like
I must be thinking of a different song.
He literally just repeats the same vocal melody, the one line, for like 3.5. It's annoying.
Well, don't you want to follow him down to the Rose Parade?
I don't know, maybe.
Is there a football game on after the Rose Parade?
I don't know what the Rose Parade is.
It's some thing. It's some parade, and then they have a football game afterwards. The Rose Bowl. I don't know.
Is that what that is?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm stupid. You. I think that a song with a really simple time signature isn't a crazy time signature. I can't believe myself.
Boy, just everything you say is...
It's stupid bullshit.
But you know, there's good stuff here too.
Sure.
I guess I kind of like the quiet songs the best.
Yeah.
Between the Bars.
Yeah, Between the Bars is a good song.
It's lovely.
It's not as good as The Bars by Black Flag, but what is?
Sure. Yeah.
Which is kind of like the same as Slip It In, but like a little bit different.
Hey, Slip It In's a good song.
Slip It In is a great song. It's no wonder that they did it twice.
Yeah, if you gotta have a song twice, it might as well be Slip It In.
Drink up, baby. Stay up all night with the things you could do. You won't, but you might. The potential you'll be that you'll never see. Promises you'll only make. Drink up with me now and forget all about the pressure of days. Do what I say and I'll make you okay. And drive them away, the images stuck in your head. You don't want around anymore. Then push and shove and won't bend to your will. I'll keep them still.
You think Elliot Smith knows that song? Well, he probably doesn't know anything anymore. You think he knew that song? Think he liked it?
Yeah, probably.
Think he ever covered it?
People always call Elliot Smith folk punk.
They do.
I think maybe that's more for his live shows, which tended to be a little more raucous. He always like changed the arrangements up and like did them a little more. There's like a full band version of Needle in the Hay on YouTube that I watched one time. That's really cool, actually.
Nice.
You should check it out.
I will. Mm. But this is the album, of course, that Gus Van Sant was listening to a lot while making Good Will Hunting. And that's why Miss Misery is on Good Will Hunting.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you seen Good Will Hunting?
No. But, Jeff, I gotta tell you something really important. It's not your fault.
Stop it's not it, your man. Fault. Don't do this to me, man.
It's not your fault.
That's I actually just watched it again recently.
Yeah, I was gonna watch it in preparation for this episode, but I watched that stupid Zach Braff movie instead.
Well, you would have done better had you watched Good Will Hunting.
Probably because I do like Gus Van Sant. I've just never seen Good Will Hunting.
Well, yeah,
I like Elephant and.
Well, it's not that. Anything like that. Like,
well, no, I know that.
It's a very like straightforward Hollywood kind of drama.
Yeah, because I know that he's got a lot of shades. Yeah.
That he does, yeah.
You know, you get your drugstore cowboys and your own private Idahos. And
have you seen My Own Private Idaho?
Oh, yeah.
That's a neat movie.
Some good shit.
It's kind of messy, but like it's got a lot of interesting ideas in it, though, which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gus Van Sant, he's a mixed bag, to say the least.
To say the least.
But Good Will Hunting, like, I saw it when I was, like, 12 or something, and I thought it was, like, the deepest shit I had ever seen at that time, you know?
Isn't there a part where Matt Damon goes down on, what's her name?
Minnie Driver.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, there's a sex scene. I don't remember specifically any pussy eating, though.
Well, I'm sure it wasn't graphic.
Just close up on Minnie Driver's labia.
Oh, God. Like, I'm sure it wasn't blue is the warmest color.
Right.
But, which I still have not seen and don't really want to see, because it sounds voyeuristic and weird.
Well, I mean, it has those sex scenes, but, like, there's a whole movie around them.
Yeah, but isn't it just, like, the tragic falling apart of a relationship?
Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
Yeah. I don't think it's that good.
I think people were probably just blindsided by, like, graphic ass eating.
Well, I mean, that comes pretty early in the movie, so I think the glow of the ass eating probably, you know, fades by the end of the fucking 3 hours that comprises that goddamn movie.
Does the movie open with...
No, it doesn't open with it,
but... Because that would be fucking daring.
It's fairly early on, though, is what I'm saying.
Is that how they got together?
She trips and falls into her ass?
Yeah.
No, that's
not... It just was like, well, as long as I'm here.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, that movie's not that good.
Alright.
And neither is Good Will Hunting, is what I was getting at.
Yeah, well, I know
it's not bad, but...
I've seen Patch Adams. That movie
is
fucking
better than
terrible.
Patch Adams.
Well, that's a really low bar to clear, because right. Patch Adams is so bad. I watched it because Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it. And he's not even in the movie that much.
That's Paige's go-to answer for worst movie she's ever seen is Patch Adams.
Worse than Sucker Punch, even?
I don't know. I guess I haven't... She hasn't reevaluated Patch Adams in light of Sucker Punch.
It's really bad.
Sucker Punch is at least, like, a vision.
It's
certainly a vision,
Yeah, Patch Adams is just like he puts an enema bulb on his nose and makes a kid with cancer laugh, and then that's like, and then his girlfriend gets shot. Like
his girlfriend
day.
Gets shot.
Yeah, she gets killed by it. Yeah, she goes to this dude's house because this dude came in and he had like some, you know, he had some mental problems and he was like, I really need help. And then she goes to his house, he fucking murders her.
Damn.
And the day before, she told Patch Adams about how her father molested her.
Damn.
This girl, it's just
that's,
a cavalcade.
That's a very dark
of,
turn for
it's a
Patch Adams to take.
Of tragedy.
I thought Patch Adams was supposed to be, like, uplifting.
It is, but, you know, so there's got to be a body count.
Yeah, you know, in between all the child molestation and murder.
Yeah, it learns how, you know, you learn how to open your heart.
And you learn that laughing cures people of terminal diseases.
What?
Isn't that what that movie is about?
No, I didn't hear you. What did you say?
Oh. It's about how laughing can cure you of terminal diseases.
That's exactly what it's about.
And everyone's like, Patch Adams, this is bad. You can't just make people laugh and cure their terminal diseases.
We're doctors here. Right. We're doctors. We're better than the patients.
Right.
He's like, no, no.
Boy, I got something that's going to shake up the medical community.
Yeah, he puts some fucking bedpans on his feet and does a Charlie Chaplin walk. We're all supposed to think that it's great. Well, it's not.
And speaking of suicide, Robin Williams.
Yeah, nice segue, buddy.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's a theme of this episode, isn't it?
Well, I mean, understandably so.
Right.
But do you want to talk about XO?
We barely talked about either or.
Well, we got enough in there. They know how we feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's also got 2:45 a.m., which is good. Mm-hmm. Ballad of Big Nothing is good.
Sure.
That's about it. This album's all right.
It's good enough.
I don't like it as much as Elliott Smith.
Sure.
So I say get the self-titled and not this one if you want to know what early Elliott Smith sounded like.
Sure.
But then we get the major label jump.
Whoop. He had that. He got that Good Will Hunting bump.
He's got that Good Will Hunting money.
Yeah, he played at the Academy Awards.
Yeah, in a big white suit.
Was it a big suit or was it just a regular suit?
I mean,
suit?
It was just a suit, but it's just weird to see Elliott Smith in this like all white suit.
Yeah, it's like my dad watching the DNC last night was like, Hillary Clinton's wearing a white suit. And they would tell everybody who came through that she looked like Colonel Sanders.
That's funny.
It was pretty funny. But, yeah. So, what do you think of this one?
I think it's Elliott Smith's best album.
Really?
I do, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he loses that intimacy that is a key part of his music, but, I think he has a talent for arranging that shows up on this record. And that studio polish and extra instrumentation, it lends a real something to his song.
Mm-hmm.
And plus you still get some intimacy here. I mean, you get Pizzola, which is probably my favorite track on this record.
Mm-hmm.
Just as haunting, to use that word again,
sure,
as anything you would find on the lo-fi records. And plus you get that like big echoey piano that comes in before the
third
verse.
Oh god, yes, that's so good.
So good, man.
That's like a really great example of like production touches on a piano. It's like No Diggity by Blackstreet.
It's exactly like No Diggity by Blackstreet.
No, but they're
sister songs, I would go as far as
to say. Have you listened to that song lately?
No, not in a long time.
Oh my god, though, but like the way the piano comes in on the chorus is like unreal.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'll have to give that another listen.
You should. Everybody, you know, go back and look at Blackstreet and their landmark single, No Diggity.
Did they have another hit?
Not that I am aware of.
Dr. Dre's on that song, right? No Diggity?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Big time.
Couldn't remember.
Yep.
Ah, 1998.
What a year.
What a year, man. I was living in Albany, New York.
The fuck were you doing in Albany?
My dad moved there for a fucking year and a half, and then we moved again. I had fucking two tumultuous moves in my childhood. Ain't that some shit? And my parents got divorced when I was 8. I had a tumultuous childhood.
Man, I'm surprised you haven't, like, shot up a bank or something.
Well.
There's still time.
Never say never.
Yeah. So, there's a 33 and a third on XO. Have you read it?
I have not, no, because my library doesn't have it.
Fuck.
I know, right?
What kind of library is that?
A shitty one, even though it's got like 70 of them, but still. Yeah.
I gotta say, I really like the two waltz tracks on
there. Sure, I mean, Waltz Number 2 is one of his most famous songs, and justly so.
Sure.
It's downright Beatlesque, I would say.
Yeah.
stop sitting down, seeing Kathy's clown. That's the man she's married to now. That's the girl that he takes around town. She appears composed, so she is, I suppose. Who can really tell? She shows no emotion at all. Stares into space like a dead China doll. Never gonna know you now, but I'm gonna love you.
And then waltz number one. Ooh, boy. You get Elliot's falsetto.
Yeah.
You get a melody that's downright eerie.
Yeah, you want to talk about haunting.
Mm-hmm. You get a lot
You want to talk about The Haunting, directed by Jan Devant.
Is that the new one or the old one?
That's the new one. The one with Owen Wilson.
Yeah, where he gets decapitated by the big fucking thing.
Goddamn right he does.
That's pretty cool. Any movie where Owen Wilson gets decapitated is at least pretty cool.
I like him.
I mean, I like Owen Wilson too, but that's like hilarious. Oh no, I'm getting decapitated. I can't do an Owen Wilson voice, but you can hear it in your head what he would sound like saying that.
It's great. But I think most of my goodwill towards Owen Wilson comes from Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah. And Wes Anderson in general.
Yeah. They're buddies.
Yeah.
Are they not buddies anymore? They're still buddies, right?
As far as I know.
They're just not writing partners.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is a bit of a shame, because they worked really well together.
They did.
But
I might even go as far as to say that Wes Anderson lost a little something after he stopped writing with Owen Wilson.
I think so, definitely.
But, you know, Owen Wilson, he needed to do fucking
Shanghai
Noon. Shanghai Noon, great movie.
Shanghai Nights.
Yeah, also great.
Yeah, they're both great.
And Zoolander.
Of course.
Which is legitimately one of my favorite comedies. Paige and I watch it all the time.
I loved it so much when I was younger, and like it didn't hold up as much as I wanted it to.
Oh, man.
But that scene where he's in the coal mines of New Jersey.
Wow, there's just so many great moments in Zoolander, but you know, I guess if you don't get it, then, you know.
Well,
Zoolander kind of went over your head a little bit, I think.
Clearly.
It's sophisticated, you know.
Very sophisticated comedy.
And, you know, he was in Inherent Vice.
That's true, he was. He was good in that.
He was. He is a great part in Meet the Parents, also. Have you seen that?
I have, but I don't remember him in it.
He's, you know, Ben Stiller's love interest. He's her douchebag ex-boyfriend.
I do not remember that, because that's another movie I saw a bunch when I was young.
I've seen Meet the Parents way too many times. Like, I don't know why I've seen it so many times, honestly.
I
think it's a pretty funny movie, actually. Like, but, yeah, I don't know why I've seen Meet the Parents so many times.
The thing I remember most is that that cat knew how to use a toilet. And then my mom, like, after we saw the movie, I think we saw it in the theater, she was like, do you think we could teach Tootsie how to do that? So we had a cat named Tootsie at the time.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was like, no.
Well,
then lo and behold, a few years later, I found out that Charles Mingus wrote a book about teaching your cat how to go to the toilet.
Well, there's like kits that you can buy that will supposedly teach your cat to use the toilet.
Yeah.
I'm dubious, to say the least.
Yeah. And you know what? We've been doing good with the having a box of animal feces in your house.
It is sort of gross to just, like, have cat shit lying around.
Well, I mean, if you clean it up...
Well, right, but,
it's fine. Like, I gotta clean it every day, but...
Sure.
If you do that, then it's not as bad.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a baby. I mean, you gotta clean a baby's shit. It's sure. just part of it. It's no big deal.
But hey, there's other good songs on here, too.
That's true! There are!
Like
Independence Day.
Yeah, Independence Day is good. That's
I can't believe that wasn't in the end credits of the movie, Independence Day, which actually came out before this album.
It did come out 2 years later, so that was probably a factor.
They could have gone back.
Yeah, special edition
for the
theater re-release,
for the DVD release.
George Lucas, that shit up.
Yeah, that really is stupid. That George Lucas, does that shit.
You're the first person to have made that.
I know. I am the first person to have a problem with it.
Yeah, Independence Day. That's another song that saunters. You know.
Yeah.
Got kind
He's
of a cool
got a good
vibe.
Sauntering rhythm when he wants to do
sure.
that.
Sure.
Which Elliot Smith, I gotta say, didn't seem like a sauntering kind of guy.
Mm-mm.
But maybe it was. I never knew him. Maybe you know, come in with his wide stance and his devil may care kind of haircut and just, you know, be a cool dude.
So, being the big Jaws fan you are.
Amity.
I can only imagine that you love the song Amity.
It's a good song. It's a very good song. I really like it.
It is a good song. You got distorted guitar.
That's why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about Jaws, but it does have a distorted guitar, so you know.
Yeah, the new production budget and instrumentation is put to interesting use here.
Yes, that's what I like. That's my favorite thing about Elliot Smith, and I think that's why I like these later albums better, because he uses production and arrangements in a way that other people wouldn't.
Well, something like a question mark, like that's not something Elliot Smith ever would have done before, this kind
right.
of like funky horn driven thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of odd because, you know, funky is not something you would describe Elliot Smith as, but it very much works for him, and it fits right in on the album. I love I Didn't Understand, which is built, you know, a cappella. Just this wall of Elliot voices going ah and ooh
mm-hmm.
as he sings the melody over. You get Bled White, which has this, like, organ sound and guitar, I don't even know what kind of thing he's doing, and it's like chorus and reverb and shit.
Yeah. That organ is really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Another good use of organ in music. Two episodes in a row we got good organ.
That's true. Good organs. It's our new sub podcast.
Yep.
Welcome to another episode of Good Organs.
Our theme song is like the middle part of Light My Fire.
It's 96 Tears.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's 96 Tears.
Talk the about best, a good organ.
The best use of organ.
Best organ.
Music, I think, to this day. That's such a good song. Have you heard the Suicide cover of 96 Tears?
No.
It's great.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
You do.
R.I.P. Alan Vega.
Yep, R.I.P.
Still dead a week later.
Well, as far as we know. Something may have come up.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of, like, witch's curse or...
Yeah. Life is mysterious.
Some sort of reanimator.
Oh no, I've been reanimated. It's my impression of Alan Vega being reanimated.
Like in the classic film Reanimator.
What else? I mean, Sweet Adeline.
Yeah.
Gotta love the way the whole band kicks in for the third verse.
Yes, yes, yes. That is so cool.
And then it's over.
And then it's over. Mm. Like they pull you in and then they pull you out.
And that's right. Yeah, this is just a really good album, full of really good songs.
Yeah.
I mean, get it. Listen to it.
What more can you say?
Yeah. You know, Elliott Smith was not a flashy artist.
No.
But
he wasn't like Sufjan Stevens, you know?
Yeah. Here's 18 wind instruments.
Yeah, and here's me in a crazy disco outfit on a throne.
Mm. Sufjan.
What a guy.
Yeah. I like Sufjan. He's grown on me. I think for a little while I saw him as like the face of shitty modern like wussy indie.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's a guy. It's a guy. It's not for me, but like he's
the dude is talented.
I'm glad like, he's around.
He's a talented man. That much cannot be disputed.
Oh yeah.
All right. So EXO. Then we get Figure Eight.
Yeah.
Figure Eight is long.
It is a little long.
It's too long. It's probably my least favorite Elliott Smith record, actually.
Really?
I've listened to it a lot less than I've listened to every other album we're talking about, just because it doesn't... It's never grabbed me. I don't know. Like, and it still didn't grab me, listening to it again.
Yeah.
I mean, it has Son of Sam, which is a classic.
It's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at this track listing, I'm just like, you know.
Yeah.
Like, Somebody That I Used to Know. It's,
sure.
It's a good song. It's not a great song.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Gautier.
Gautier. Did they make it past their one hit?
I don't think so.
Are they still plugging away?
I mean, probably, like,
is Gautier still rocking and rolling all over the world?
Probably playing county fairs.
You think they're already at the county fair level?
Yes.
That didn't take long.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Sometimes you're Elliott Smith, sometimes you're Gautier.
The duality of man.
Yep. The Elliott Smith Gautier.
Binary.
Right. As Young, Carl Jung laid out.
Yep. As Neil Young laid out.
Right. You think Neil Young was a pseudonym for Carl Jung?
I do.
He got tired of being a psychologist and propagating theories about the collective unconscious.
Yeah, and he just
started writing songs.
Yeah, he just came on our ass out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's like, you know, it's like Carl Jung said, look out, mama, there's some white boats coming down the river.
It's like Carl Jung said, Transformer Man, Transformer Man.
This joke just keeps getting better and better the more we do it.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I know a lot of people like Figure Eight.
Yeah, like that's... People really, really like this album.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't do it for me as much.
It's all right. I don't know. Like, I think Elliott Smith, I think all of his albums are kind of growers. Like, they're not necessarily music that, like, blows you away when you listen to it the first time.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think for some of it, I should allow it to grow on me a little more.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, it's not flashy music, you know. It's just sort of simple songcraft, melodies and guitars, you know. No wacky avant-gardisms. No
ass-kicking
right
riffs.
Right. Nothing that's really gonna, you know, grab you by the fucking throat and shake you.
Nah, not like the song By the Throat by the Cows.
Yeah, that's a good song.
That's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
Should just do another episode about the cows. Like, every week we just do an episode about the cows.
So, has your opinion on the cows changed?
Nope, they're still great.
Still fucking awesome.
Yep.
Our new weekly podcast, Are the Cows Still Good?
We'd be filling a niche.
Yeah. People want to know.
And people should know.
Yeah, in 2017, they might be like, are the cows still good? And we'll be there to reassure them that, yes, they very much are.
Yep.
I don't really want to talk about figure eight, to be honest.
Yeah.
Sorry, figure eight fans. I'm just going to gloss over this one. Blame yourself for liking the worst Elliott Smith album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
So from a basement on the hill, then.
This one I really think is my favorite.
Interesting. The posthumous release.
Yeah, and I do have to say, because I know that some people are... I'm not a morbid person where, like, if somebody died while making something, I'm
Whoa,
not
gonna dead.
Like
it. That makes
yeah,
it
I'm
meaningful.
Not gonna like it better. Yeah, I don't right. think that. I just really like this album. I just really like the arrangements.
Yeah, it's got and a lot of good stuff.
It does. It has a lot of really great songs. Like the single, I think, is really beautiful.
Pretty Ugly Before.
Absolutely. I think that song is gorgeous.
That's another Beatles-y song, I feel.
Yeah. And, that's great.
Yeah, that's one of the best Elliott Smith songs, for sure.
I think so, absolutely.
I love that little piano that, echoes him after he sings, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't know what to do, and then the piano goes, dee-dee-dee, dee-dee-dee.
Yes.
That owns.
Yeah. And you got the opening track, Coast to Coast.
Coast rocks.
It does rock. I think that's why it's my favorite. It's got some songs that rock on it.
Yeah.
Finally.
Throw a little distortion on that shit.
Please. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
You might as well. That's all I'm saying.
That's good of you to say.
Yeah. I'm just making suggestions.
And hey, Don't Go Down also has some rocking guitars on it.
Mm-hmm. And you got a song like King's Crossing, which is really good. Kind of a, haunting kind of track.
Yeah, big anthemic chorus.
Yeah. Love those.
King's Crossing is beautiful.
Yeah.
Fucking A Fond Farewell.
Mm-hmm.
It's lovely. I love that, the electric doubling.
There's a lot of electric guitar on this album, and it really helps.
Yeah,
I guess. And you got Steven Drozd from Flaming Lips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he plays drums on Coast to Coast. He does.
Oh, huh.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of makes sense. It's got that big, crashing cymbal heavy sort of thing that Steven Drozd does.
Yeah. See?
Interesting.
Everybody brings their own little thing.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool?
That is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a bad way to go out, and I have to say.
And I like the last track a lot. Distorted Reality is now a necessity to be free.
Yeah.
It's a little pretentious title, but I think the song is very good.
I love that opening riff. It's kind of it's almost kind of like a cock rock riff. It's sort of a weird thing to come from Elliott Smith.
Yeah, it's something you would not expect from him, but it's really cool.
But yeah, it's a very good song.
Yeah, it is kind of sad that, this shows that he was really...
Still going strong.
He was still going strong. He was still doing different things.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was still young. He released quite a few albums in a pretty short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But he was still young. He was 34. He was going.
God, he was only 34.
Yeah.
That fucking sucks, dude.
I know.
Poor Elliot. Come on. Man,
I know.
Why'd you have to do that, Elliot?
We had a lot of shit going on.
Yeah, no. And still.
I agree.
Just what a waste, man.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, you know what, though? It wasn't a waste because he did, you know, he made music the way he wanted. He made a lot of really good music that speaks to a lot of people still. And I don't think that's a waste.
Well, it's a waste that he killed himself. he clearly
It's
he clearly had more music. I'm not saying his life is a waste. I'm saying the end of his life was a waste.
I guess, but I don't know. I think that it's really sad, and I wish that it did not happen, but it did. And I think that all I can say is that, you know, we're not alone in the world. Like, even when you think you're alone in the world, you're really not. And, you know, that's kind of comforting, I think.
Yeah.
So, I got your back, people.
Elliot.
That boy.
Poor guy.
Poor guy. But he did a lot of good stuff before he went out.
He did some things.
Did That's some things. Sure. He did more than a lot.
He was also in a band called Heat Miser before
which
went solo.
Is kind of only notable for his involvement.
I think like one of their albums is supposed to be pretty good. But Heat Miser also have you heard of the band Quasi?
Yes, I have.
That guy was also in this band with him. So Heat Miser is a super group of sorts.
Yeah.
I guess if you consider Quasi notable enough. Which they probably aren't, but you know.
Not really.
But I don't think anyone really cares about Quasi. I just know who they are, basically.
Sometimes that's all you could hope for.
Right.
So.
So, I guess that's Elliot Smith.
Yep. So.
You think his girlfriend murdered him?
I don't. I know that people think that. I know that there's some, you know, irregularities, the autopsy or whatever, but I don't think that his girlfriend murdered him.
That's just who stabs themselves in the heart, man.
I don't know.
Who does that?
I don't know, but I think it's a jump to. I don't know. All why right. Why would she murder him?
I don't know.
Well, good with that.
She's fucking crazy.
I guess, but
you know, women.
Oh, that's true. Women.
They'll stab you.
They'll get you. They'll get you in the end.
They'll get you. Anyway.
So that was Listener Request Month.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for requesting and for joining us on this ride.
Yeah, thanks just for listening to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you for being a friend. Of the podcast.
If I may add a personal plea here, if you like the podcast, do us a favor, mosey on over to iTunes, give us a rating, give us a review.
Please do.
You know, we've got some ratings. Most of them are 5 stars, except for one person who gave us 1 star.
And didn't even leave a review, which I think is rude.
Didn't, yeah. Couldn't be like, these people are fucking annoying and stupid and make terrible jokes.
Yeah. Like I that would have been fine, because I would have been like,
yeah,
well,
pretty
not
much.
Wrong, you know?
He's got our number.
Yep.
But, you know, that will increase our visibility, attract more listeners to the podcast.
Yeah, and then maybe we could do cool stuff.
Help us grow and expand our empire.
Yeah, maybe we'll make t-shirts.
We could get that Nature Box money.
I hope so.
Is NatureVox still a thing? I feel like I'm not hearing their ads all over.
I have no idea. Well, I think now we've moved on to Casper Mattresses and Dollar Shave Club.
Yeah.
So, you know. Mm. But please rate and review us on iTunes and keep listening and keep posting on the Facebook page.
I think it is likely we will do another listener request month at some point.
Yeah. But until then.
Until then what?
I don't know. Until then, just keep listening. Keep watching the skies.
What are we doing next week?
That's a good question. That's up to you, pal. Really? Are we going to announce it on air?
I get to pick?
Yeah.
No, we're not going to announce it. We'll keep it a secret.
Yeah.
But,
I love how ramshackle our podcast is. And, like, in the middle, like, at the end of our last podcast, we're like, well, now what do we do?
Yeah. I didn't think this far ahead. I gotta be
okay.
Honest.
Well, should we say our goodbyes?
Yeah, I suppose.
So that was Elliot Smith. Goodbye, everybody. We will let Elliot Smith play you out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow